Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. We want to say Merry Christmas to everybody watching online and watching in North County. And I hope all of you have a great Christmas few days here, holiday. We want to remember Sandy Hook and Newton, Connecticut, and all those families back there that are having mixed feelings today and this weekend. We want to pray for them, and hopefully you remember them as you look at your kids and your family and how blessed we are and how we are not guaranteed anything but this moment. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives, so we just want to encourage you to pray for them. And hopefully, as you pray for them and hear about all what's going on there and in our country, that we pray for our country. I don't know if you saw yesterday, at least I saw it for the first time yesterday, they have bulletproof backpacks for little kids now. The devil is so good, and everyone's crying out for gun control and all this stuff, but we got to cry out for God. We need to cry out for God. Amen. I wrote an op-ed piece that was in the UT on Thursday. If you didn't see it, I would encourage you to read that. It's on the Union Tribune on Thursday about that very issue. It's called A Conversation with God, but it was all about God's response to Sandy Hook. And so, we just need to cry out for our country and enjoy Christmas, but we need to understand that we need God. We always talk about God bless America. America needs to bless God by getting back to that. And we as believers have to be the first to do that. Amen? And the very first thing you can do today, especially the season, is to keep saying Merry Christmas, talk about Jesus, invite people to church, invite people to hear the gospel, and share with them what Christmas is about. Don't let our culture whitewash your conversation to be about holiday and whatever. This is about Jesus Christ and his birth and the hope that he gives our world. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Before we do this, I just want to encourage you. I've been saying this for a few weeks that next year, which is in about 8 days, so 9 days, or whatever it is, we're going to go on a 40-day fast. You don't have to go on the fast. You can eat as much bonbons as you want during that fast. But we're going to go on a 40-day, we're going to encourage and sponsor a 40-day fast. And the whole purpose of the fast is not only to bring change in your life, but to be change in our city. And we're going to go through the book of Acts during the first 90 days of, well, from the beginning of the year to Easter. And the whole theme is to turn the world upside down. We don't want to just read the book and study the book just to get information. We want to turn the world upside down. It's going to come when God does something supernatural in your life. And so I want to encourage you to start praying about that, participating in the fast. And, you know, I was driving here today thinking, listening to a song, and the word suicide came in my mind. I don't remember what the song was, but I just started thinking, I probably need to do a sermon on suicide, that we all need to die. And to do a sermon, and it's because I want to kill myself. And what I mean by that is that who you are today needs to die. Who you are right now needs to die. In other words, when God sees you today, what you are today is absolutely not good enough for God tomorrow. Is that if you really walk with God, who you are today should die. And what's ironic is that your skin cells and all your physical body renews itself every day. It dies. And I believe it's 7 years. Your whole physical body that is sitting in that chair now will be completely physically gone, and a new one will come. Ain't that something? And so as we go into the end of the year and Christmas, I'm not trying to give you a downer, but as we go into the end of the year and into next year, into a fast, as you think about, you know what, I need to change because I've been doing the same routine over and over again, and it's tired. And God wants to do something new. Amen? God wants to do something new. Lord, we thank you so much for being good to us. And we pray you do something new, but we pray we let you do something new in our life, something supernatural. Supernatural. And Lord, I pray for our family. I pray that you would speak to us, you would encourage us, you would renew us, you would do something incredible in our life. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to be born that he may die, that we may be born so we can die. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas to everyone. Galatians 4. Christmas is the absolute heavyweight global champion of holidays. The heavyweight champion, because it's about the heavyweight champion of the universe, Jesus. He was born, we are celebrating his birth, which would in turn lead to his life, which would in turn lead to his death, which would in turn lead to his resurrection, which would in turn lead to an opportunity for us. And we think about Christmas a lot, especially when we're a kid, we think about what we're going to get. You know, y'all, definitely when we're a kid, it's all about what I'm going to get. I'm going to get it. I go to bed. We used to go to bed late at night. Couldn't go to sleep. We sleep maybe an hour, run down our pajamas before the sun came up, hoping that Santa Claus, and we understood in my family that Santa Claus was not a big fat white man, that it was a little brown Jamaican man. Can I get an amen? Okay. And that we were going to get what we wanted. And it's all about, you know, am I going to get my toy? Am I going to get the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip? Am I going to get a bicycle? Whatever it is. When we get older, we realize, okay, it's really probably about what I'm going to give. We think about the person we're going to give it to. You know, like, what do they want? What do they like? Have they said anything recently? You know, will they like this? Will they like this color? What brand do they like? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Today I want to talk about the giver, God. As a matter of fact, I got a young man today, 3 years old, gave a gift, a little jar with money in it. And he has a little brother. He's been saving his money, and this little man, this young man, I don't want to say his name out of privacy for his family, but he gave a little gift. He's been saving money, and he said, "It's my offering." He understands giving. He understands giving. I want to talk about Christmas from the giver's perspective, God. When we see Christmas, we see trees, lights, mistletoe, trying to get a little smooch somewhere. From anybody, right? Help a brother out. Little eggnog, you got your little jingle bells, etc. But God sees Christmas very different. It's not a one-day thing to God. It's a 365-day thing to God. God knows exactly what we need. He's not guessing. And he's not into trends and fashion. Okay, what is a trend today? What kind of, you know, brand should I give? He knows exactly what we need. And so I want to talk about Christmas from the ultimate giver, God. Let's read just chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has set forth his spirit of his son, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Everyone say, Abba. That's daddy in Hebrew. If you go to Israel, you see little kids walk around, Abba, Abba, Abba. And God sent his spirit to live in you so you could say that to God. Because some people are not going to say that to God. Some people call God other names. And when some people die, they're going to see God. Everyone's going to bow their knee and say that Jesus is Lord. But some people are going to say, Jesus is Lord, and some people say, uh-oh, Jesus is Lord. Okay, you want to be able to say, Daddy. Matter of fact, if someone showed up at my door and said, Daddy, and it wasn't Kelly, Kimmy, or Miles, because those are the only kids that should be saying Daddy to me. I'm saying, I ain't your daddy. Yes, you are. I was like, well, who's your mother? Billie Jean. No, Billie Jean ain't your mother. I would ask them to prove that I was their daddy. And the only way they can prove it was a blood test. The only way you can prove God is your daddy is with a blood test. Jesus. But look what it says. It says, verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, therefore," everyone say therefore. Whenever you read therefore in the Bible or in a sentence, it goes from the practical, from the theoretical to the practical. Everyone say theoretical. Yeah. Say practical. In other words, your breath stinks, therefore you need a Tic Tac, okay? So theoretical to the practical, okay? So therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir or an inheritor of God through Jesus Christ. When God sees Christmas, He sees us celebrating Christmas, giving toys, and people are generally happier, people are generally nicer. A lot of people are depressed because they don't have a lot to be happy about, and they're depressed because they're reminded about what they don't have a lot to be happy about because everybody else is so happy. And a lot of the people you see happy during Christmas aren't as happy as you think they are. They don't really appreciate or really enjoy the things that you think they're enjoying because we don't really understand what we see. And then we get mind games about, oh, I'm depressed because I don't have what they have, when really they don't have what you think they have. And you have more than you think you don't have. And so we all this confusion. God sees all that and it breaks His heart because He says, man, Christmas to me is so much bigger than that. All the drama, for me, Christmas is about racing all of that, about washing it away. Because I sent forth my Son to redeem you, to buy you back, to give you an opportunity to have a relationship with me. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. We not only need to know that, we need to embody that and share that and be that new person. Look at number one in your notes. Look at number one in your notes. Christmas to God is an opportunity for a second chance. Christmas to God is an opportunity for a second chance. Now, some of y'all are going to go to someone and give them a gift and hopefully mend a relationship. But most likely you're just giving gifts, you know, because of what the Christmas dictates. You want to show your love to somebody or whatever. God is bigger than that. He says, Christmas to me is an opportunity for you and I to get along and get us and God. See, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. He created woman. He created the fish, the birds, and everything. And Adam and Eve were the first two people. Yes, I believe Adam and Eve were the first two people. God had to start somewhere. He didn't just create a bunch of people at one time. Okay? And so He created Adam and Eve, and they were walking with God, had a relationship with God, and all the kids that they would have had a relationship with God, walking in the cool of the day in the garden, and all of a sudden they sinned and found themselves hiding from God. And God said, where are you? They said, well, we heard you walking in the cool of the day, and we hid ourselves from you. You can't hide from God. And that's in Genesis chapter 3. The rest of the whole Bible, I'll go your left to right, the rest of the whole Bible is God's story. Anyone say story? To restore what He created. Relationship. Matter of fact, when God made the heavens and the earth, He made the fish, He said it was good. He made the birds, it was good. He made all of nature, and He said it was good. The mountains, the sand, the snow, the oceans, the streams, the fresh and salt water, the fresh and salt water fish, jellyfish, fish that fly and birds that swim. He made it all. And then He said it was very good. And then He made man. And right before the end, He said, this is not good that man be alone. There was one thing He said that was not good, that man be alone. Do you know that's not good? Fellas, we all know that. We can't be alone. My wife was sick this week. 2 days, about three days, she was like in the bed. Couldn't move. I didn't even sleep in the bed. I didn't want to get sick. I slept downstairs. Matter of fact, I told my son I slept downstairs 2 nights. He's like, why? I said, me and mommy had a fight. No. Nah, she was sick. I was helpless. I was lost. I was walking around the house. Who am I? I don't know if you remember Taxi. Remember Jim on Taxi? That was me. I was walking around the house. My hair started growing long like a Rastafarian. I don't know what I'm going to do. So finally, she got better, and I was so happy. And then yesterday, we were talking about a sandwich. I can't remember how the topic of a sandwich came up. And she said, oh, yeah, there's jelly over here. I said, what do you think I've been eating for the last 2 days? But when the Bible says man, it's not good that man should be alone, it's not that he can have someone to take care of him. God said it's not good that man should be alone because God created us for relationship. Not necessarily man-woman relationship, but relationship with people. Why? Because it's through our relationship with people we learn how to have a relationship with God. God created us for relationship. When we sinned, that relationship with God was broken. And we walk around having a relationship with people and messed up relationships with people. And so our sin messes up our relationship with people, and our sin messes up our relationship with God. So God sent his son, one, to give us a second chance to fix all that. He wants to fix it. You have relationships with people that God can fix. You can't fix. God can fix. And it won't get fixed. You doing the same thing that hasn't worked for 20 years over and over again. That's called insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's not going to happen. So God sent his son to die on the cross, rise from the dead, to pay for our sin, that our sin may be forgiven, that we may reestablish relationship with God. And once we reestablish relationship with God, the right relationship, then we can reestablish relationship with man, the right relationship. That's what Christmas is about to God. And God is seeing people give gifts. Hi, how you doing? Go to dinner with people you don't like, and you know, it's irritating, and da-da-da. And then you go about your business. And God said, that was a complete waste. You missed it. Nothing changed. You had a few days where you smiled and you were friendly, but then nothing changed. God says, that's not what Christmas is to me. Christmas is an opportunity to start over. And so I want to encourage you, in a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want relationship with you. Or I want better relationship with you. And when God forgives you of your sin, when you receive the gift of salvation, because God on Christmas, God gave us a gift, an opportunity to have a relationship. He gave his son to die that we would be saved. Then when you receive that gift, that you use it, you give it away. Just like he gave it to you, he give it away. That you become the giver he gives. He gave his life, you give your life. And be a blessing to people. That people look at you and go, you're different. You are different. And if you're a Christian and you say you're a Christian, and people who knew you before should undoubtedly say you're different, because you need to be different. Not for different sake, God's going to change you. Number two, Christmas to God is an example of self-sacrifice. In other words, when God gave his son, he was modeling to us how to give. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Everyone say, only son. You know, we've been praying for the people of Sandy Hook. God knows exactly what they're going through because his son was murdered. He gets it completely. And he voluntarily gave his son. You know, I can't imagine a conversation with Jesus and God in heaven. Jesus, you're going to go down and you're going to be born of a lady named Mary. Jesus, of course, knows all this, but they're having this conversation on our level. He goes, okay, you're going to grow up in a house. You're going to have at least six brothers and sisters. We know Jesus has four brothers by name and at least two of his sisters. The Bible says he had sisters, plural. So at least two. He could have had 10 sisters. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I was in a doctor's office the other day, and a woman had 10 kids. 10! I was like, oh, you are a queen. And she had five of them with her, and they were walking out, and one had they all had candy canes, and one said, we have 10 kids. I was like, you have 10 kids? So he said, Jesus, you're going to have at least six brothers and sisters. You're going to go to elementary school. You're going to go to junior high. You're going to go to high school. You're going to deal with a lot of jealousy and drama with other kids. The guys are going to be jealous of you because all the girls are going to like you. And all the girls are going to like you because just who you are. You're going to be all everything, the dream guy for every girl. Then you're going to go through your 20s. You're going to start a business. You're going to deal with people trying to cheat you. Then at 30 years old, you're going to announce yourself as God, and your family's not even going to believe you. Then you're going to do miracles. The people I'm sending you to, the Jews, are going to reject you for the most part. People are going to lie about you. They're going to make stuff up about you. They're going to falsely accuse you. And then you're going to get arrested. You're going to get beat. You're going to get crucified. Some of your disciples are going to betray you and deny they even know you with curse words. And you're going to be all alone on the cross. And you, all the sin of the whole world forever is going to be laid on you, and it's going to be extremely painful. You're going to be murdered. And you're going to hang there for hours and bleed to death. And literally, your physical heart is going to burst and break inside the sack that your heart is in. And you're going to die. And you're going to be a marked man as a criminal. You're going to die with criminals. And then you're going to be buried in a tomb. And you're going to see your earthly mother at the foot of the cross crying. It's going to break your heart. It's going to break your heart. It's going to be painful. And right before Jesus was arrested, he prayed to the Father, "Father, is there any way we can avoid this?" And the Father said, "No. You got to go through this." Christmas was about sacrifice. It was about sacrifice, and he did it for you and me. And Jesus says, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and give my life as a ransom." That's what Christmas is about to God. Now, it doesn't mean we don't enjoy what we enjoy, but let's enjoy it in the spirit it was given. Amen? If someone gives you a shirt, wear the shirt the way the shirt was designed to be worn. If someone gives you a pair of pants, wear the pants right. Get a belt. Well, if something's too small, maybe they gave it to you small for a reason. I'm just saying. If someone gives you some running shoes, go running. Amen? If someone gives you a blender, use it. Don't put it in the closet. If God gives you Jesus, use it. You're going to get presents today or hopefully in a couple days, you're going to get presents that are relevant to the times. You know, what's the fashion that's out, the video game that's out, whatever, whatever, whatever. Salvation is eternal. It's always relevant. And not every Christmas, but every day. Today is a day of salvation. It's relevant every day. And the thing about Christmas, the gift that God has given us, not only did it cost him everything, it's the gift that never wears out. Ever. It gets better. The more you use it, the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that you can work to get your salvation. It means once you get it, you use it. Have you ever been to the gym or worked out where you haven't worked out in a long time and you feel sore in places you didn't even know you had muscle? He said, "I didn't even know I had a muscle there." Well, you didn't. It's just really, it's not your muscle. But what's happening is you're exercising muscles that you didn't know you had. And actually muscles that you never saw, if you work out enough, will actually grow right before your eyes. You'll see it. You can actually see muscles. But you always had them. You're working them out. When you get salvation, you need to exercise. You need to use it. It's not something you just have and sit on until you die. Christmas to God is an example of sacrifice. I'm sacrificing for you, this for you. It's like when you get a gift. That little money this little boy gave us today, it was a sacrifice. He could have done stuff with that. He gave it away. Number three. Christmas to God is a symbol of the value he's placed on you. Turn to John 15. Recently, a lady one day didn't take communion at church here. And she went up to one of our pastors and said, "I didn't take communion." He said, "Why not?" She said, "I don't feel worthy." And I said, "Well, you should have told us she's right. We're not worthy." Say, "I'm not worthy." We are not worthy. God has blessed us and always blesses us way beyond what we deserve. And the thing about being Christian is even when you accept Christianity, accept Christ as your Savior, you're still not worthy. And you cannot pay him back. But what you can do is you can show your appreciation. Lord, thank you, because God is always going to bless you beyond your worth. And the minute you start thinking you're worthy, the minute you start thinking you're all that, you've lost it. Matter of fact, the longer you truly, sincerely walk with Christ, the more you realize how unworthy you are. And if you feel like, man, I'm never going to get there, I keep discovering all this junk about myself, that's what walking with Jesus is all about. You're like, what does that mean? What do you mean by that? That means that you have this much junk, but you only realize you had that much. And if God showed you all this stuff, you would die. You'd just be depressed. I can't handle that mountain of stuff. So he just shows a little bit at a time, and he gives us a bunch of grace and love to deal with it. Then he shows a little bit more, and he gives us a bunch of grace and love to deal with it. But his grace and love always abounds more than our sin. We don't deserve it. So what he's saying is, your value is not based on what you have done. Your value is not based on what you have earned or what you've accomplished. Your value is based on, this is God, my love for you. That's it. I talked to a lady recently who just lost her baby at 5 months. I called her randomly, and she said, I'm not doing good right now. I just lost my baby. I was overseas in a bathroom all alone. 5 months. And here we are a month later or so, and she's crying about it, understandably. She loved that baby like nothing else. And he was so amazing. And I said to this, you know what's amazing about that? That baby did absolutely nothing to get you to love him. Nothing. Yet you loved him more than anything you ever loved in your life. She's like, that's right, that's right. That's exactly how God is with us. He says, you did nothing for me to love you. You can't do anything to make me love you more. But I love you still. And if you could just accept that fact and not have to feel like you have to try to earn it or pay him back or be worthy, give up that fight. You're wasting your time. Just enjoy it. Look what it says in 15:13. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Here's what God said. On Christmas, I am going to give you a gift. My only son. Everyone say only son. My only son. And what he is going to do is he is going to die. And he is going to love you more than you can ever imagine. And he wants you to understand, and I want you to understand, God wants you to understand that this symbol of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection is a symbol of my love for you, period. Can't change it. And I want you to know I love you, and I want you to trust me to bless you, and I want you to give your life to me. Just as I gave my son, I want you to give your life to me. That's what Christmas is to God. That's the beginning, the middle, and the end. Everything else is gravy. And so this Christmas, I want to challenge you as you give your gifts, as you go to your parties, all that stuff, and we're going to have one, all that stuff. That's all fine. But let Christ and his birth and his death and his resurrection and the opportunity we have to have a relationship with God be the foundation of your celebration, be the foundation of your happiness, not something you're going to get in a box that you're either going to forget, not like, it's going to wear out, or you're going to lose it in the boxes of your house. Now, all that stuff is good and fine, but be more preoccupied about Christmas from God's perspective. In a minute, some of y'all are going to have an opportunity to receive the best Christmas gift you could ever have, salvation. That Jesus Christ would forgive you of your sin. And the gift of salvation would live in your heart forever. Forever. I got saved in 1984, 28 years ago. How many of you, and please raise your hand, how many of you can say you know of 5 gifts? Well, I'll just say this. One that you got 28 years ago that you still use and is getting better and better and better. I don't see any hands. Well, let me say this. How many of y'all can even remember Christmas 28 years ago? I tell you, when you get Jesus Christ as your gift of salvation, it gets better and better and better and better, and it gets the best when you die. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for an opportunity to know you personally, intimately. And Lord, I pray for the people listening now who have never received your Christmas gift the way you intended it to be received. If you understand that Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead, if you believe he loves you, and he's offering you salvation today, a gift, a free gift, a gift that lasts forever, a gift that doesn't have to be recharged, doesn't need new batteries, it'll never get old, it works every day. And out of all the gifts you will receive and have received in your life from people, this is the only gift that meets your number one need, and that's a relationship with God. If you would like to receive that gift, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I receive Jesus as my Savior right now. Please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart. Please be my Savior and my Lord and my God. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I submit my heart to you. Thank you for your love for me and your patience with me. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand, whether you're here in Point Loma or in North County or online. We want you to respond right there on your screen. But if you prayed that prayer, what you're telling God is, God, I went under my tree. I saw your gift, I opened it, and I want it. I'm going to wear it, I'm going to use it every day. Thank you for that gift, Lord. Thank you. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying that to God the Father today, I'm just going to ask you to stand up and acknowledge you receiving that gift. Stand up and acknowledge your salvation and your forgiveness. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. We see you. God bless you. Now I'm going to ask all those people who are standing to do one more thing. In a minute, we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. So right now, if you're standing up, just come up out of your seat and come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen.